Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving or early Thanksgiving. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, around 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And this is our weekly Under the Radar podcast coming to you a day earlier than normal. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got David Briggs to my side. And joining us from Bracketeer.org, the one and only Rocco Miller. Rocco and Puppet, how are you guys doing? Ready for Thanksgiving?
I'm ready for basketball.
Ready for hoops. We got a lot more games before we get turkey.
Right. We really do, actually. I mean, Thanksgiving is awesome. The reason we celebrate Thanksgiving is to celebrate all of the good college basketball that goes on. That's just a historical fact. If you go back to like the origins of the holiday, what I don't like about it is all this family stuff that gets in the way.
Right. This is our Under the Radar show. And Grace, why don't you tell people what Under the Radar is in case they don't know?
Well, in short, if you're new to the show, and I realize a lot of people might be, judging by how much traffic we're getting, in short, it's the 22 regular one-bid leagues. There's no rule that says that these are always one-bid leagues or that they can't get more than one, but it's the 22 conferences that normally only send one team to the tournament. It is not the Power Five, obviously, the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and SEC, nor is it the five other multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, the Mountain West, the West Coast, the A-10, and the American. Hey, I got them all. It's the other 22. The other disqualifier, and we're not really coming close to this yet, although Drake might be inching their way up, is you can't be in the top 25. And now that I say that, I hope I didn't forget to vote for Drake in my Under the Radar.
You absolutely did. And you totally messed up the voting, but we're going to go through each of these conferences. We go through them in alphabetical order, with the exception of every week we like to have a feature conference of the week. That's going to start the show off with. They'll do the rest in alphabetical order, hit some fun stuff at the end, do our top 10 lists, see what else happens. I don't even know. We don't actually plan for these shows. We just kind of do them. But I'm going to go ahead and pull up the screen share here. And if this works, we should miraculously see the conference of the week loading up on the screen, which is the Mighty Sun Belt Conference. And I thought this would be a really good place to start just because, Rocco, this conference has really outperformed expectations to date, I think. I was one of the people that was really high this conference, but going in, but I think I'm kind of surprised at how well they've performed. Not just one team, multiple teams here.
Yeah, multiple teams starting very strong. I think the headline for me at least is Southern Miss, a team that was in the 300s pretty much all last year. I think they only won a couple games all year. Went hard in the portal, got a couple big time players that I didn't know if they would mesh or not. It was really hard to project if they were going to be any good still. But they've come out with a splash where they put Vanderbilt into a pretzel, held them to 48, won at Vanderbilt. They won a crazy back and forth game with Liberty over the weekend. And then today in their event, they were down 4 at halftime with Winthrop, end up winning by 25, outscoring them by 29 in the second half. So Southern Miss, I think, is a team to start recognizing. They're putting teams on notice. They'll play Purdue, Fort Wayne, I think, tomorrow. But also Louisiana still undefeated. They're in the game.
As we record this, they're down one with about 4 minutes left at SMU. Okay. So that's going to be a huge win. Another huge win for the conference. This comes out. Yeah.
And I think James Madison's been the other big story, Chad, with the way that they've just been blitzing teams and winning by 30-plus. They got a stab at the Dragon on Monday against North Carolina, lost by about 16. Didn't shoot it as well there, but based on playing their kind of own weight class, they've been killing teams. So, and we're not even talking about Old Dominion, who beat Furman in a consolation game, a very impressive win for ODU. Marshall's had some good performances. I think, you know, Appalachian State's one of the teams that beat Louisville. I don't know if that means anything, but there's a lot of good stories brewing here.
Troy went to Montana, got a road win at Montana this week. That's another story. I mean, so Griggs, you could really go up and down this entire thing here. I mean, Coastal Carolina has only played one D1 game. I don't know what's going on there, but there you go. Look at everybody else here.
Well, yeah, and the big story is Southern Miss. Rocco already covered them. I mean, it's not that they're unbeaten. It's that they've actually lifted some weight to get there. And look, I mean, I know it's early strength of record, third that is just really, really impressive. Now, they also have 291 opponents meshed in with all that, but really looking like a good team. And James Madison, yeah, their only loss, a rather competitive game, at least for part of the game against North Carolina, kind of a good showing for them, and some other decent wins to go along with it. This is a fun JMU team. They were a team I like coming into the year. But yeah, this conference exceeding any and all expectations.
Yeah, and we see the upcoming schedule here for this conference. A lot of these games, at least over through the weekend, are a fair amount of them are part of various events that are going on. But there are there's some interesting chances coming up here for
a lot of these Saturday teams. Louisiana at Drake, really good huge game one. There. Yeah,
look at James Madison, Madison, South Dakota State on Saturday.
Yeah,
there's Belmont, Georgia State coming up on Sunday. Georgia State, another team I'm kind of keeping half an eye on. They picked up some nice wins already.
Yeah, they did. Well. You mentioned Troy already. They're swinging way over their heads. But really,
Arkansas, come on. Yeah. Arkansas just lost tonight. You know, they weren't.
Yeah. But Southern Miss, again, more winnable games. They can continue to string together wins. And what's their metric going to look like if they keep this up?
Yeah, I think, you know, I looked it up earlier today in the KenPom rankings. They're already up 110 spots from the start of the year, which is only like 16 days ago. And they're up about 103 spots in the Torvik rankings. So they're already ballooning up and they're still barely in the top 200. So long way to go. But yeah, I mean, Purdue Fort Wayne won't be an easy game either on back to back. But the way they're playing, I would expect them to get a win.
Right, and it's important to point out.
I was going to mention that is Fort Wayne did win the game against Eastern Michigan. That's who they're
pointing. Yeah, and Rocco, it's important to point out. Correct me if I'm wrong. Those rankings don't really start off at zero. They do, but they don't. They sort of phase out the previous year as this year goes along. So it's a little bit misleading if you're only looking at this year. Southern Miss, excellent metrics.
Yeah, and I'll give both those guys credit, KenPom and Bart, just from, and I know there's a bunch of others you can look at as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But those two every year, I think they've gotten a little bit better with the way they're following roster moves from the transfer portal to recruiting. They get a little bit stronger and stronger each year. And credit to Torvik, he was actually a little higher on Southern Miss than Ken. But I think, you know, most teams they're not as far off as they used to be.
Yeah.
We might be coming back to the Sun Belt here in a couple of minutes here. We're now at a pretty much, I think, a tie game or 1 point game with a minute and a half left in that Louisiana SMU game.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're trying to keep turning because I'm keeping an eye on it as we.
Yeah. Louisiana 64, SMU 62, a minute and or a minute 36 to go. That,
if
so
you
we'll
go
keep
to your
an
score
eye.
Grad, that game is way over any of you that aren't you watching this.
up by five now. Louisiana just hit a three.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, so how about the Cajuns as well? So. Great start, two undefeated teams at the top here, and a couple of very other good teams. Let's swing back and run through the rest of the leagues here and start in the America East, where, Rocco, I think I saw on Twitter today, you had a stat about Vermont. It's been a long time since they started 1-5, but they had a good year back then when they did.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not very often you see Vermont lose by 29 to an Ivy League school like they did
You know,
today.
That game was close until about 8 minutes left, too. I was watching a lot of that game.
Right. So. Right, yeah, and then they basically didn't score the last 8 minutes, is my guess. But but Vermont, you know, still trying to break in. Dylan Penn, I'm a little surprised they haven't been more competitive. You know, Iona beat them pretty bad the game before, 21-point loss on a neutral court. But Vermont's been on the road a lot. Three games on the West Coast didn't go well. Now two back on the East Coast, but they haven't been back on their home confines. And they'll get Ball State coming up on Friday in the Bahamas. To kick off a bracketed event. So three more games coming up away from Vermont. Again, all of this, and part of my point on Twitter earlier was, you know, they're playing good teams right now. There's not that much competition in the America East Conference that we're looking at here. So I think all of this, no matter what their record is coming out of the Bahamas, is going to help them. They also go to Colgate, they play Toledo, and they go to Miami in December. So they really stack their non-conference schedule. And no matter how far Vermont falls, you can't write them off in this league. They still have good players and an awesome coach.
I do think we need to take a quick screenshot of this America East standings right now for one and only one reason. the best SOR and the best JNG ratings of the conference right now both belong to the Maine Black Bears.
Yeah.
And when can we, have we ever been able to say that?
Yeah, Maine 2-1. They've beaten like Boston College and somebody else. And
Columbia, yep.
And Columbia. So off to, wow, look at Maine.
Here's the upcoming schedule in that America East. Rocco mentioned those upcoming games. Maine's at Central Connecticut. There could be another
one. That's another winnable game.
Yeah.
Road Warriors, the Maine Black Bears.
The big thing, big games being, of course, the Vermont tournament there with, Ball State to start with. And potential, potential good game in the championship there, maybe North Texas or San Jose or
Maine's got a couple.
Playing well.
Yeah, I just want to ride this Maine train all the way through because they got two winnable games this week.
At Brown is a bit of a challenge, I think, actually for them. They might be shooting over their heads on that one.
Well, yeah, they're better than Boston College.
Yeah, Bryant at Syracuse on Saturday as well could be pretty interesting. Syracuse coming off of a St. John's game tonight, so they might be overlooking it a little bit.
Yeah. Griggs, here's the A-Sun standings coming up on the screen here with a team in red there, ineligible for the postseason, Queens, but tied with North Alabama at the top of the standings. North Alabama, first year eligible for the postseason this year.
Yeah, and I realize we're not in the conference play yet, so there's a huge asterisk here, but the two top teams, one a recent transitional team, the other one in their first year of transitioning, but Queens, three D1 wins already, so they've been kind of exciting to watch. Bellarmine kind of moving along, but I think the story, Chad, is Stetson is probably the biggest story in this league, are they not?
Well, they were until the Niagara game over the weekend.
Yeah.
That was a tough one
in Dublin. Yeah.
That was part of that. They actually won the first game on Friday over Ryder. This was the Ireland doubleheader. Saturday they lost the Niagara game.
Yeah.
Undefeated in the United States, though. So.
Yeah. They do have some notable wins, and I guess Gulf Coast does as well, but nobody else really doing much.
Well, Gulf Coast is now on to the championship of their event, going up against a surprising Kansas City Ruse in the is that the Gulf Coast Showcase, I believe. So they got the home court,
one of them,
field advantage there, backyard advantage there. I think Rocco, the other story though has been, almost a little disappointing for Liberty, especially with that home loss to Southern Miss that we discussed already.
Yeah, and Liberty, as we speak, trailing by last I saw 7 to Northwestern in the. Challenge. They'll need to bounce back, assuming they lose that against a Bradley team missing three starters. I think Liberty needs to get a right game for the third place consolation prize, but it'll help them as they go forward in their non-league where they have many more good games scheduled. I will say Lipscomb, even though they're 3-2, played a good game at South Dakota, lost by 1 point at Notre Dame. Beat Belmont in the battle for the Boulevard, which is a huge deal for Lipscomb. I like the way they're playing. They got a lot of D2 guys that transferred up for Acuff, who's a former D2 legend coach. Really curious to see how this plays out for them. And then, Eastern Kentucky won on a buzzer beater, which was pretty cool. Half court shot.
An amazing buzzer beater. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing to point out from the last week. But I think a lot of these, there's so much parity with throughout this league. Like, it wouldn't shock me if a Queens or a Bellarmine actually won the league. That's how even I think it is so far.
Right. And the upcoming schedule here, a lot of games, the Liberty Northwestern game, as Rich is going on right now. So the big one, more interesting one might be what Liberty does against probably Bradley tomorrow, like you mentioned already.
Yeah.
Queens off to George Mason.
That's a winnable game, the way that's George Mason has played so far.
Yeah. Very danger zone. Season.
Yeah. Delaware State at Liberty, Stetson at Campbell, Bellarmine at UCLA on Sunday.
Probably not a winnable game.
And then at Kentucky, we got a hell of a trip for Bellarmine here coming up.
A
game at Loyola Marymount, followed by a game at UCLA, and then Kentucky on the way home.
Making some money.
Okay. Rock over the Big Sky Conference. Any podcast that we did early season where I talked about how I like Northern Colorado heading into the year, let's please just ignore them. they never happened, especially after they lose tonight at home to Colorado Christian. I guess, Sac State is 3-1, and that may be the only team really even worth doing any look at so far, because I've been really disappointed with the league.
Yeah, the league struggled. You know, Northern Arizona had a stunning win over UC Santa Barbara. I could not even believe my eyes when I saw that score. Northern Arizona since has gone back to being Northern Arizona, losing by double digits to UT Rio Grande Valley tonight. Mm-hmm. Sacramento State's a team. You know, I love the roster. It's a brand new regime. I think we talked about them a lot on the preview. Playing UC Davis at the Golden One Center tonight, a very exciting game locally at the Kings Arena. We'll see how they do. I think that's just getting started as we speak.
We won't see because it's not being streamed everywhere. We have to read about how they do.
I was actually tempted to drive up there. I really want to see them play. I'll get up there if they keep winning like this. I'll definitely get up there this year. And Eastern Washington, you know, not competitive against Wazoo, not competitive in the Hawaii tournament. I'm a little disappointed on where they're at, but I do believe in their staff, and I eventually think some of these teams will improve. But it's been a tough start.
Yeah, they are tied 1-1 with the Summit League in about a 4-week long challenge. We'll be tracking for a while here on Under the Radar, the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Series. But here is the upcoming schedule. Griggs, you know, is there anything specific you're looking for? You know, I mean, Portland State is in the one of the Phil Knight tournaments coming up here.
Yeah, I will be shocked if they don't lose out on that one.
If they get a win, yes.
Yeah, really, the team that that I'm keeping my eye on is the one that you mentioned at the top, and that's Sacramento State. It's off to a fairly decent start. Probably more notable than anyone else in the league. And it's like, can they keep it going? Can they beat Davis? Can they beat, can they go out to Hawaii? That's not an easy trip.
A little turn. That's a 4-team tournament they got out there. They could get ex Big Sky rival Southern Utah in the second round of that.
Southern Utah, pretty good.
They are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good field, that little 4-team field. And then also Montana State, they're going to the Northern Classic in Quebec. And they have three predetermined opponents, and all of them are pretty formidable. Greensboro, Quinnipiac, who's still undefeated, and Middle Tennessee, who's all over the place. So, Montana State, I think, is a darn good team, deserve to be the favorites. Very curious to see how they perform up north.
Let's jump over over to Griggs. I think I'm up to you here with the Big South Conference, where we've got High Point out to the 4-1 start at the top of the league standings on the screen. Not a conference I've seen anything much out of anybody from, though.
Nothing too surprising here. And then Winthrop, just kind of getting beat down the day. Looking probably 15-16 line. High Point, really the only team in the league that has a winning record against D1 opponents. So you kind of got to look at Tubby Smith and company and what they're doing there.
That'd be his son. Is it Saul Smith?
Saul Smith. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
It's actually
Gigi Smith. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wrong son. Wrong kid.
No, yeah. No I know it again. A lot of this is due to like playing in road bye games. I think that like once they start, some of these teams are probably a little bit better than what their records show. Although, Longwood, who was the team I liked the most coming into the year, losing at home to an SIUE team that from all accounts is not good at all. So that's kind of a head scratcher.
I saw one preseason publication that picked SIUE to win the Ohio Valley. I think they were completely wrong, but no, but you can't lose.
Right. Nobody in the OVC has a win like that. So
here's the upcoming schedule. I'm almost saying Rocco in this conference. Let's just wait. Let's just get conference play started here because I just don't see much happening here.
Yeah, when you look at the upcoming schedule, I think Winthrop, obviously they'll play Eastern Michigan. Be ideal for them to get a win to get out of the islands with a 1-1 split. Longwood coming out to play San Diego and Steve Lavin, that'll be interesting. See how they do going cross country for that one. Overall, we're kind of cruising to conference play. Gardner Webb's got a 1-4 record and barely beat, I think it was NC Central in their last game. But I do think Gardner Webb, I think they lost to Carolina by 6. Even though they've got 4 losses, all of them were tight. I think they could be good later in the year. I think they're going through some bumps now, but it could help them.
Yeah. Presbyterian in a battle with Albany as we record this late in the game.
Third place game.
Just kind of it's kind of amazing.
Albany is pretty bad this year.
Yeah, so is Presby.
By the way, for those of you who watch this live who are none of you, we have overtime in Louisiana SMU games.
Yeah.
So. Keep you posted as we go here.
Big West Conference, Rocco. This UC Irvine team, I think, is clearly the story, especially with that dominating win Monday night over Life Pacific, right?
Yeah, Irvine did suffer their first setback. Right. You know, some of the hot shooting from Pepperdine stars, Houston Millette and Max Lewis. It was mostly Millette in their loss, but Irvine just couldn't generate enough offense to keep up, lost that one.
That's a nice way of putting it. Their offense was pitiful that game.
It was. Yeah, but they shot 21% from deep.
Yeah.
Not good.
I still think they're the class of this.
Oh, they are.
Especially
with
Santa Barbara having that loss to Northern Arizona.
Yeah. No, they are.
Unless we want to talk UC San Diego, goes cross country and wins at GW tonight. I mean,
a real indictment.
They've been out there for a while. Wasn't that their third game out there? They played the Navy MTE, I believe. But good for them to get a win out there. They lost to both Navy and Youngstown, took Navy to overtime. But got a win before they came home. Actually, they're going to go to Eastern Michigan next. So UC San Diego's all over the place. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still expect Santa Barbara to be the class of the league. They certainly have the most talent. I don't know. I'm double checking the box score from their game. And I don't see any blaring holes. They had most of their starters. So I can't explain how they lost to Northern Arizona. I'm going to have to rewatch that at some point, but I mean, outside of the teams we've mentioned, I would say here in the Big West that, you know, Cal State Fullerton's a team that I've been pretty intrigued by. Obviously, we've talked about Long Beach. Hawaii's off to a pretty good start. That OT loss to Yale doesn't look too bad.
Keep an eye on this Hawaii team. I agree with you that this is a team to definitely keep an eye on this season. Yeah.
And then they've got that event with Sacramento State we were just talking about. So we'll learn even more about them soon.
Yeah. Here is those upcoming games here. Davis in that big game today against Sacramento State that we mentioned already as well. Irvine, interesting game against Nichols here on Friday at the start of their event, and then potentially New Mexico State. So really want to keep an eye on this. That's kind of
or San Diego.
Or San Diego. And then San Diego State coming up on Tuesday. That might be over their heads just a wee bit. Griggs, let's keep things rolling here and jump over to the Colonial.
Oh, how about this,
Lee? We've got several teams here, maybe even three. This almost was our conference of the day today. It was almost a coin flip between this and the Sun Belt.
Yeah, Hofstra sustaining their first loss, and they kind of got their noses bloodied in that game. It was a long way to go out west. I want to say, was it San Diego that they
– St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. St. Mary's probably a top 25 caliber team, even though they're not in the rankings yet. So you can't feel too bad about that. But outside of that, they've been really good. You had College of Charleston. Only loss was to top-ranked North Carolina in Chapel Hill.
How about the teams Charleston beat just this week? Davidson, Colorado State, and Virginia Tech. Name-brand schools. Yeah,
name-brand schools. It was on their home floor, but it was still a tournament setting. And just what a week for College of Charleston. Just kind of really catapulting themselves onto the national stage a little bit. And you can see it right there, up to 31st in the AP poll after not receiving votes in seemingly a decade or more. But the team I like, and I know that they don't have the scalps that CFC has, but as far as the eye test, this Towson team is really good. Pat Scarry, probably the best team he's had since he's been there, and maybe not even probably, but the three teams, like the Hofstra, College of Charleston, and Towson, that is a really good, solid top of this league that, and when all those teams play each other, could it turn into opportunities to boost the metrics? This is shaping up to be a conference that can land a team inside the bubble.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I would say if for any reason we stopped the season after 2 weeks, that both Charleston and Towson would be inside the bubble.
Yeah. But,
and Hofstra, you know, if they, you know, the four wins are good. They got the Iona win, but they're not completely out of the mix for that either as we speak. But the crazy thing about Charleston is they played six games. All six of the teams they played were in the NCAA tournament last year. kind of nuts. And they have Kent State tomorrow, which is just a huge game between probably two top 10 under the radar teams. We'll find out later from Chad. I think the only team, only thing bad to say about this league is the bottom like six or seven are pretty bad. And that's going to weigh down the numbers a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Northeastern, which I don't know what's happened to that program. Monmouth, I don't know what's happened to that program. Stony Brook has not shown anything. There is a lot of dead weight. I think you're right. That might be we're going to need a few more scalps for these top teams beyond what they've gotten already. If one of them wants to land inside the bubble, Griggs, that's kind of what I'm looking at here.
Can't trip up in this league the way it's shaping up.
Right.
Let's keep things rolling here. And Rocco, Conference USA, only league, I think, with a league game still so far with that Middle Tennessee dominating win over Rice. So they are your champions if we end the season right now.
There you go. Run, take that and run with it. But right after that, they went to Missouri State and got pounded. Wow. They also got pounded at Winthrop. Just kind of surprising to me. I really like this Middle Tennessee team. I got to see them practice and last month, and we'll see how it shapes up. It's a long season. Can't write them off.
Yeah, I think the story is UAB, especially with their pair of wins and winning their event this week.
Yeah, UAB, watched them earlier today. Nice blowout second half after trailing Georgia at the half. End up winning by 16 or 18. And that two-man show in the backcourt with Jelly and Eric Gaines is phenomenal. I don't think anybody can compete with that and under the radar. But Florida Atlantic really got healthy right before the Florida game, and ends up beating the Gators with Michael Forrest back in the lineup. And then also had a couple decent home opponents in their MTE with Bryant and Detroit coming to town, beat them both by double figures, beat Detroit by 20. This FAU team is now performing like the team I thought they were going to be before the year. And that's refreshing to see. I think this could be a really special season for them.
Griggs, let's not forget about Charlotte picking up a winning their event, wins over Boise and Tulsa this past week.
Yeah, the Boise win really impressed me. Tulsa, I'm still, is just kind of blah, but off to a 4-1 start, winning their event and beating a pretty good Boise team.
And I think maybe the most disappointing team so far, and they're sitting here at 4-1 as well, as Western Kentucky, just because they look so bad against Akron. They did bounce back with a win over Illinois State today, but
We've seen this from Western Kentucky before. We've seen them play up to a really high ceiling, but yet they don't do it consistently, and sometimes they just look like a tire fire, as they did against Akron.
I got Rocco while we're here. Should we talk a little North Texas as well? I mean, there are a lot of teams here that I think are pretty good teams when you look at this Conference USA.
Yeah, and North Texas, good to see Tyler Perry come back. Obviously, they're their star, the key to the team, and beat Fresno by 9 with him back in the lineup. They appear to be back, and as long as they're full strength, they would be my pick to win the Nassau Championship. They'll open with San Jose State, so pretty interesting opener on Friday. But I think they would get Long Beach State or Oakland in the second game. And then, as we said, potentially, I don't think it'll be Vermont, but there's some other good teams like Wilmington or Missouri State on the other side. Perhaps North Texas, Missouri State will be my pick for the finals. We'll learn a lot about all these teams. But I think North Texas full strength is going to be a juggernaut and only get better week in and week out as we go forward.
Yeah, and I think almost with the smaller conference here, I think we may see a better Conference USA this year than we've seen in past years. It is trimmed down, which, something some leagues may need to learn is stop expanding. Maybe stay CAA small.
Single division. single division. 9 to 10 teams is the way to go, I think.
Well, we're at 11 here, but
which is one more than what it should
I think
be.
We're getting rid of. We're getting rid of a couple Rice more next out. Year too, though. Rice is on its way out, I believe, aren't they? Yeah.
And with UTEP playing well, Charlotte playing well, Louisiana Tech solid, there's going to be a lot of like really good games in this league throughout the year.
Griggs, over in the Horizon League, a league that disappointed us a lot last year and hasn't done much to make up for it so far this year.
Wright State winning 3 straight after blowing a 20-point lead in their home, season opener at home against Davidson.
They are currently up 5 in the first half against UC Riverside as well as we record this.
We thought they'd be a front runner, still keeping an eye on them. Northern Kentucky with the big win over Cincinnati, and they followed it up with no other D1 wins.
Well, they lost to Gulf Coast and to Texas Arlington back to back. So really,
this league, just not looking all that strong outside of Wright State. I do like the Penguins. I think that they have the potential to be a lot better than what they normally are. But I think is it Wright State's league to win?
I picked the Penguins to start the year.
Really? Did you? That's Youngstown State, for those of you Youngstown that don't State. Know. Yeah.
I mean, I like what they've built. They've got an old team. They're playing with a lot more analytically driven models and strategy. They lost to Navy on a back-to-back, blew out UC San Diego on the day before, and then just ran out of steam against Navy on their true road game. So I guess that's not terrible. But Northern Kentucky got the big win over Cincinnati and then showed up in this MTE, and now they're playing Toledo for seventh place.
the game we thought was going to be the championship game is the seventh place game in that event. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it is. And it's
got players. That's a weird one. Detroit Mercy's had some good games and then some not so good games. I think it's kind of wide open, quite honestly.
Yeah, Detroit hosting Charlotte Wednesday night here tomorrow night. That's an interesting game, actually, to circle among these other games that are coming up this week here. But let's kind of keep things going on over here, Rocco, to the Ivy League and this undefeated Yale team off of this. Like we said, the final score not indicative of how close the game was, a little closer than 73-44, but Yale is undefeated.
Yale is undefeated, and they're knocking on the door of the top 100 in the metrics. They're playing extremely well offensively, and even better defensively. If you look at their defensive stats, top 65 defense right now. But it's their first 6-0 start since 1945-46, 77 years ago since they were 6-0 last. So big shout out to them. All Ivy League teams missed the whole season 2 years ago. So needing that extra year to kind of rebuild themselves up. We've known that James Jones can really coach for several years, and here he is putting it together again. And this team's exciting. They're going to go to Colorado on Sunday, not to jump ahead, but very curious to see how they do on the road in a game like that.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see which Colorado shows up.
Well, it's at home, so they might be in trouble. Colorado might be in trouble.
Yeah, Colorado might be in trouble.
Here's the rest of the upcoming schedule of this conference, include that big Maine Brown game we mentioned earlier in the show.
But, big one.
Griggs, Metro Atlantic Conference. We obviously, the story heading the season is Iona. I think they are still the season.
Yeah.
The story of the season, despite the fact that Quinnipiac is undefeated.
Yeah, Quinnipiac undefeated. Iona going to Hofstra, a team we talked about earlier, and losing kind of a tight game. That was actually a really fun game to watch. But I still think that they're the team to beat in the conference. Quinnipiac, you got to give them a shout out. They've played five. They won all five. Four of them were D1 opponents. They've gotten some road wins, although nothing against anybody that's really substantial. But I just don't think that this is going to last. And I just think Ione is the class of the league. News update, Louisiana has won the game on the road at SMU. Another true road win for the Raging Cajun.
For the Raging Cajun, and another big win for the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah.
Show that I did pick the right league this tonight.
Yeah.
But Rocco, in terms of the upcoming schedule, Iona has got Santa Clara here coming up on Saturday in game. I'm not certain where that game is at.
Vegas.
Is that Vegas? Okay. That is a Vegas. It's a one off, not part of an event. It's just
a uniquely scheduled game. Glad that one came together for both schools. Both teams obviously pursuing an ambitious at-large opportunity, but that's all you can do is give yourself as many chances as you can, and that's another one for both. I think that's probably the best game out there that I see. But I would also say,
I think you're overlooking two first Quinnipiac Hofstra on Sunday. I think
So Quinnipiac in all three games is going to have their hands full. Stephen F. Austin, Montana State, and Hofstra. So that's all happening in Canada.
But even more important, DUville is at Niagara tomorrow. Now, I thought I'd seen all the non D1 schools over the years. Here's a brand new one for me.
I think they've been in a couple of these, haven't they? They play Youngstown State also.
I don't know. Rocco, I'm already impressed with you. If you can speak knowledgeably about the Uville, we're just going to turn the show over to you.
The Circle Sunday also Canisius Buffalo. It's a rivalry game there.
Big obviously. Four.
We love those rivalry games.
We love them.
Great games.
Yeah.
Rocco, let me stick with you with the Mid-American Conference on the screen here. Another league, even with Toledo laying an egg, and now maybe Akron laying an egg as well. That was LSU today, but they got the win over Western Kentucky, so maybe not so much on Akron, but Toledo's been laying some eggs, but still that Kent State after the good start in Akron, not that bad.
Yeah, Kent State looks amazing. They went to Northern Kentucky, opened the year a 22-point win, beat a pretty good Portland team by double digits. I guess Pine Bluff and Chicago State is not near their skill level, so we can kind of toss those out the window. But Charleston game tomorrow on the road, that's Wednesday, is going to be, a battle of top 10 teams, as we said in the CAA portion. Toledo, they were probably my number one team before this week started. End up getting beat by Kansas City in a shocker yesterday, and then today lose again to East Carolina, who really just out hustled them, out focused them. And Toledo's one of those teams we've talked about in previous years. You know, they'll go out and lose to like the eighth or ninth place team at the end of the year because they're somewhat of a live by the three, die by the three team. I don't think that was so much the reason for the losses this week, but it's really curious that they would lose both games in a row. They have such a strong schedule. There's probably going to be a week coming up where we'll speak positively about a couple big wins they'll get, but it's just, you have no guarantees with Toledo. It's an interesting program.
Yeah. This was, to build on what you said, Rocco, this really was a disappointing / damaging week. And I realize it's early in the season in a lot of these tournaments, this one's buried on Flow Hoops. And I think they have these jamboree feels to them, and in a way they are, but if you're an under the radar school like Toledo with those kinds of, potential and expectations, these might be some of the more important games that you play all year. And for them to go out and lose to two teams that with all due respect are not going to be anywhere near the NIT most likely, just not a good look for a team that's trying to get inside the bubble.
Right. In terms of the other games of note here, actually the upcoming games, obviously huge week for Kent State, game at Charleston coming up Wednesday night.
Big, big one. Oh man.
Game at Houston coming up on Saturday.
Big one. If they win that one, they will not be.
We're not going to be talking about them next week because they're going to be nationally ranked. I guess gave you a little shout here. Also, Bowling Green lost at Notre Dame, but was in that game most of the game tonight here. So
everybody Notre Dame has played has been in the game for most of the game.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point. All right, Griggs, let's keep going on to the MEAC here, and I'll give you a few minutes to talk about whatever you want to discuss here.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll spend no more than 25-30 minutes on this, and then we got to move on. I still like Norfolk State. Some other teams have made some noise. Howard's looked good in a couple games. Coppin State, obviously, with 3-1 wins, and really took Georgetown to the wall, I think, in their season opener. But I've thought all along that this is a conference that's destined for the first four minus Norfolk State, who can probably get inside of it and maybe even get above the 16 line. I think they run away with it.
Yeah.
I would have to agree with that. Just a little shout out for Morgan State beating Utah Valley. That's a good team. They beat them in overtime in their event before falling to Queens in the championship game. And Howard in the middle of the, a tough event for their standards, was able to get a win over Buffalo. That's pretty big for Howard. Coppin State's been playing pretty well as well.
And Howard was right in there with Wyoming. Now it's a Wyoming team that's not looked good and is missing its best player, but they were in that game.
They were disturbingly so if you're Wyoming.
Upcoming schedule here, including a big rivalry, game, Coppin State and Maryland, they're pretty close to each other. That's a, not gonna happen.
You crosstown war there.
Norfolk State at Houston, Dip Griggs. Maybe you want to call that one.
If Norfolk State wins that one, That would be me.
Rocco, the Missouri Valley Conference of this Drake team that is now 5-0.
Yeah, thank God for Drake, because you know, there's been some bumps in the road for everybody else along the way. Drake, the last undefeated team left before Thanksgiving. I know it was a little disappointing to some of our Valley friends, but Drake did what they had to do. They went to this event. They got past a beat up Wyoming team in the semis and took care of a red hot Tarleton team in the championship game. Tucker DeVries is not only playing like the player of the year in this league, but also I'm seeing a lot of hype for him for the NBA draft. The guy is shooting the ball from 30 feet away and swishing it. It's a potent Drake team when they get running like that.
Right.
And obviously exciting for the Valley. Now, if Drake continues to win, they scheduled well. Maybe that's our angle to get a two-bid Valley this year. Otherwise, I don't know if there is one.
Yeah, and a little bit about Drake. They have won all their games, but they haven't exactly looked like a top 25 team in a lot of them. Their motor isn't going as fast as I think it can be or should be, and hopefully for their sake will be soon. Sometimes you got to get to the winter break or the Christmas break before teams really, really start to play up to their ceiling, but they've won them all. I did have a question about another team for you, and I know that they lost today, and it was to a rather unimpressive Kansas City team. Is there any life in the trees of Indiana?
I like
the Sycamores, Indiana State, for those of you that are new to the show?
Yeah, I like them. It's an older team. Carbosio McCauley came over from DePaul. He's scoring the rock big time. He's also been the emotional leader, really carried them at the end to close out East Carolina in the first round game. So they'll get Drexel in the third place game after the loss to KC today. But I do think the trees can really contend in the league this year in a year where, you know, outside of Drake, I think it's really up for grabs, the race for second. And even if Drake has an injury or two, God forbid, they've had a million of those lately, that the league could really open up for anybody. So I would definitely keep your eye on the trees. Southern Illinois, obviously another team we've been high on in the preseason. Lost a tough one down the stretch real late at night last night to UNLV. But at the end of the day, losing close to UNLV, I don't think is that bad. We'll see how they do against Cal Baptist tomorrow. I think that's a pretty important game for both those clubs.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Griggs, I think I'm back over to you here for the Northeast Conference.
Yes.
We see a lot of red on the screen, a lot of losses.
Well, that does not mean that this conference is any less awesome. But Wagner, again, they're the ones that still jump off. And I know that they've dropped some games and like they got absolutely dump truck actually earlier. But the win at Temple, it still shows a lot of signs of progress. It isn't so much that I like Wagner. I'm having a hard time getting excited about anyone else. Sacred Heart, maybe.
Stonehill.
Well, Stonehill, of course, but they're not eligible for a bid.
They're playing tough.
Yeah. Mary Mac was a preseason pick of this conference, but they have been a little disappointing too, even.
Yeah, right.
They were 0 for Montana and lost every game by double digits. That's pretty concerning.
Here's your upcoming schedule. I believe that picks that Fairly Dickinson did lose that game to Pitt tonight as well, so another loss.
That is a horrible loss.
Yeah, I expected more from FDU. Yeah.
St. Francis Brooklyn at South Florida, maybe, you know, who knows?
South Florida looked good today, but that means they'll probably struggle their next game. So Northern Illinois is not a good team, so ideally LIU actually led South Dakota at halftime today. So that's a moral victory for the NA.
Yeah, I guess it is.
That was a good game. Was a close game most of the way. Yeah. Rocco, the Ohio Valley Conference, where are we talking SEMO? Are we talking Tennessee State, or is it just the way the scheduling has been?
Edwardsville.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I've liked SEMO. They've got the win at South Florida. They got a win at Evansville. They played Bradley pretty tough until the last 10 minutes or so. You know, I guess I can ride with them. Morehead State probably still my pick, though, honestly. Their only losses are to power schools. West Virginia, Vandy, and Indiana.
I was a little disappointed in Morehead State's performance against Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt, I don't think was, I mean, just to get crushed by them was what disappointed me more. If that game had been closer, I'd be a little higher on them right now.
It's an over the radar discussion, but I think in the last week, Vanderbilt in the first week when they lost to Southern Miss and played like crap a couple times, they were playing like all 12 guys. It was like, what is Stackhouse doing? But right before Morehead, and I think the game when they beat Temple, he knocked that thing down to eight guys or so, and they're playing so much better now that they focused on a real rotation. It is disappointing they lost by 30 plus, but Morehead beating Bellarmine shows me that they're, you know, they could at least probably hang with the middle of the A-Sun.
And they've been better than the last place team in the ACC right now. But
yeah, that's right.
Well, they certainly are. They're not Morehead State is certainly better than at least one team in Kentucky. Well, two. They beat Bellarmine, and they would beat Louisville easily.
They beat Kentucky State tonight. Hey, there we go.
Stop playing non-D1 opponents.
Here's the rest. Here's the upcoming schedule, including Kentucky Christian at Morehead to beat another Kentucky school. Do we have a name for the mythical Kentucky Conference?
I don't know. let's not encourage any more of these non-D1 schedules. Yeah, the KFC.
Griggs, the Patriot League here, where BU and Navy are both up to 4-1 starts.
I realize that they dropped one that they arguably should have won, but Colgate is still the team that I like the most. They were the team I liked coming into the year. And despite like their most recent loss, they're still the team I'm most impressed with overall. BU 3-1 against D1, pretty good start. And then Navy, to see them, just to comment on the two teams you mentioned, it's fun seeing them get out to a start like that. But when it comes down to who's actually good, I think it's Colgate.
Well, I mean, Rocco, the Navy win over Youngstown State, though, 80-67, that does tell me that there might be some life for this Navy team.
There might be, and I think Navy's a tough team on their home court, which, you know, that Youngstown win came after an overtime win, but they did have a day off in between. So, but they also lost to Coppin State, but they beat Princeton. I mean, they're kind of
fighting Juan Dixon's. Come on.
Yeah.
Right. But I do like Navy a little bit. I also would call out Bucknell. They did get the tournament win in their bracket today, beating Austin Peay by 14. I watched some of that game, interestingly enough, and I saw Austin Peay make a lot of mistakes. And Bucknell's just one of those solid Patriot League teams that won't make mistakes. So if other teams are going to beat themselves, they'll take full advantage. They only lost by 4 at Georgia. They've shot up a bunch of spots in the metrics since the start of the year as well.
Here is the upcoming schedule, including the Army Princeton. Army is in that London event, if I'm correct, with Princeton, Manhattan, and Northeastern. Yep. Army with
London. And that is a showcase. And the city of London is going to be a buzz for that.
Thanksgiving afternoon for us out here in the West.
Yeah. But let's keep things rolling here and rock over to the SoCon, where we have an undefeated team here, although they've only played two D1 games in the Samford Bulldogs. So I don't know that we've seen much, given that they've beaten a pair of SWAC teams.
Yeah, beating a pair of SWAC teams.
Which is more than Colorado could do, but
yeah. One of those SWAC teams was on the road, which is right up the road for them in Huntsville, playing Alabama A&M. But I was high on Samford coming into the year, probably my second place SoCon projected team. Valpo tomorrow, they should be able to handle. Valpo has been very disappointing. And then they'll get La Tech and then another non-D1 next week. So it's going to be a while before we see what Samford's all about. But in December, they play UCF, DePaul, Louisiana, Belmont as part of the end of their non-league schedule. And that they just backloaded the whole thing for December.
Course, Furman was a team we were looking at heading in, Griggs. They started the week with losses to Penn State and Old Dominion. Did bounce back in the seventh place game to beat South Carolina.
Yeah, I still like this Furman team. And the Old Dominion game is one I feel like they should have won. The first one, it's a little more forgivable. But overall, I just think that they have the highest ceiling here. I'm sticking with Furman.
Okay. And let me stick with you. There's the first is the upcoming schedule in this conference. I don't know if there's anything else really worth noting. Other than just go
La Tech at Samford, at least I know Rocco talked about that a little bit. La Tech, at least with sort of a pulse. Mm-hmm.
But Griggs, over in the Southland Conference. We do have a conference game here as well, I guess. McNeese State and Lamar. That one slipped under my radar even.
That might not have counted as conference.
That was actually part of the MTE before Lamar joined the league because they bailed in July from the West.
So scratch that. Those should be 0-0s. We'll get that fixed for next week.
So the Southland as a whole has pulled off some notable wins. The most notable for Northwestern State at TCU. At least as far as a singular win, I think that's the best one. As far as who the best overall team is, I kind of like Nichols, even though it's hard to argue for them. They haven't beaten anybody yet.
At all. Neither really has anybody else in this conference other than Southeast of Louisiana.
And then Sela went to, was it Oklahoma? Or no, it was Wyoming.
Wyoming.
But that's looking a little less and less. Some of the sparkle from that win has diminished. Whereas TCU, once they get their motor going, I think they will be a top 25 caliber team for most of the year. I know you went to me, and I realize that this is not exactly Emmy award-winning analysis. I don't know what to make of this league. Northwestern State has the best win. I still like Nichols, even though they've beaten no one. Well, what do you think, Rocco?
Here you go, Rocco. And here's our schedule as well with Nichols with that interesting event with Irvine and New Mexico State and San Diego coming up. Yeah.
Looking forward to Nichols and Irvine. We'll find out. I mean, Nichols already has three losses. Weren't really competitive, but they lost to Wyoming by 11, but that, of course, was really early in the year. Arizona blitzed them. BYU beat them pretty handily. So we'll see what happens with them. They haven't hit their stride yet, that's for sure. Northwestern State had an incredible week beating TCU on the road and then going on the road and beating Illinois State in a revenge game, interestingly enough. But I think, you know, there's somebody to keep your eye on. I think Texas A&M Corpus Christi is really well coached. They're going to play a very sneaky Alcorn State team tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes. But I think it's pretty wide open. If I'm disappointed in anybody, it's probably McNeese, who did not play well in their own event that they hosted.
Well, as far as that Alcorn State game goes, it is part of the round robin event being hosted by UTEP, and Alcorn State, as we record this, is in overtime with UTEP, so they may get a tired Alcorn State team tomorrow.
Right, but Alcorn's good. I'm telling you, look at who they've beaten already.
Yeah.
They won't get there in a minute, I guess.
Well, let's go right there. As we record this, they're in overtime at UTEP looking for another road win. There is that Alcorn team, Rocco.
Yeah, so they've won at Wichita, at Stephen F. Austin. Those are historically
two. And Wichita, good this year.
And the Ole Miss game they opened the season with, it was they were down 5.5. So, again, this Alcorn State team shared the regular season title last year, brought most of those starters back. I think largely overlooked in preseason just because Texas Southern, rightfully so, and a few others. I think a lot of people like Southern this year overlooked these guys. But I haven't forecasted as the SWAC champs. I loved what I'm seeing early on. Obviously, no matter what happens with UTEP, that's an impressive result. And then they'll get Corpus Christi and Bakersfield still tomorrow and Friday. And, I just love the roster they've built and what they're building there. I think it's going to be a really fun season for the Braves.
Well, and yet another tiebreaker game in the SWAC Pac-12 Challenge, even though it's not officially part of the challenge. Griggs, bad news for the SWAC, Grambling getting thrashed at Arizona State as we record.
Yeah, but the challenge is already over in the SWAC one.
Okay. Officially it was 3-3, but
Southern won at Cal, right?
Yeah, and that was the tiebreaker.
But there have been two other games that now.
Yeah, but that one was losses. First. That broke the tie. How about
coming up on Sunday, Alcorn at Arizona State, and then the rest of the upcoming schedule here.
If Alcorn wins that one, then we'll count the other game.
Monday, Texas Southern at Kansas. Come on.
if Alcorn wins the other one,
Yeah, so Alcorn's really going through the ringer. You know, starting tonight, it's 5 games in 6 days because they'll play at Grand Canyon next Tuesday as well.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
So they're going to have to hit a wall in one of those games. I don't know which one, but.
Okay. Greg's over in the Summit League here. We've got, let me see here. As we record this, also Oral Roberts not on the screen yet. They suffered another loss, losing at Utah State tonight.
In a decent Utah State team, I think Oral Roberts, I think our expectations were kind of high for them. They've been beaten up a little bit, but nothing that's so unforgivable. Although you don't want to sing, it's hard to sing the praises of a team that's only won one D1 game, but I think they're kind of going to get it turned around.
Yeah.
I still like South Dakota State. I know they're 2-3, but they've really, really scheduled hard. And I think that, like, especially once they get in the league play, I just like them the best.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that home loss to Stephen F. Austin, though, for the Jack Reps. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a bit of a head scratcher, Rocco, and you know.
Yeah.
I think there's another team we are completely forgot to discuss already, even though they're only 3-4 overall. How about the Ruse?
Yeah.
Gotta talk.
Big
what they've done the last 2 days in the championship tomorrow of their event.
Yeah, I mean, they've been outstanding. Marvin Menzies bringing back the magic. And if you know, they opened the year with a loss to a non-D1 school, Lincoln, Missouri. And then also, I thought they played LSU pretty tough in that second game. But here this week, beating Toledo 83-71 in a game where Mitchell had 35. And, you know, I think John Titel told us today on the email, shot less than 10 field goal attempts. Very tough to do, but he made 18 free throws.
It's unbelievable.
It is. The Sycamore win today, you know, they held a, like a 5-7 point lead most of the way down the stretch and did just enough to hold on. They made a really I was actually watching on Flow Hoops, believe it or not.
I was too.
And they got the ball with 5 seconds left in a 1 point lead and very smartly threw the ball like three quarters down the court. It wasted 4 of the last 5 seconds.
I scream at teams all the time to do that. I don't know why more teams don't they do that. That's that. A great way to run that clock out.
That's right. That's right. And then they got on the line. They made one, and then the second one missed on purpose, and that's it. Nothing they can do. Game over.
Right. And they've got coming up tomorrow. Is it Florida Gulf Coast or the championship game of that event?
Championship game. And both teams playing very well. Gulf Coast really took Northern Kentucky to the woodshed and then handled their business with Drexel tonight. Really hard to pick against either one. They're both hot.
Yeah, I know. And Gulf Coast, just going back, we mentioned kind of making a name for themselves.
Yeah, so they've already got the US. They've already got the USC win too.
Yeah, they do, and so that's a really good game tomorrow between two teams. Neither one of us were really expecting anything out of.
Right.
Rest of the upcoming games, including the South Dakota State James Madison coming up on Saturday. One worth circling there, I think. A few others worth circling up here on the calendar as well. Let's jump over to the last of the regular conferences we're going to be reviewing tonight. That is the WAC. Where we've got a pair of undefeated teams in Sam Houston and Seattle. We've got Stephen F. Austin, we just discussed as well, off to a good start. We had a nice run by Tarleton in their event. Rocco, there's a few teams we could discuss in this league.
A lot, yeah. And I mean, Tarleton, first of all, we mentioned them earlier. Just an unbelievable run in that event to get to the championship game, beating both Boston College and Belmont. You know, two landmark wins for a young D1 program, getting it done on the defensive end. They just deny the passing lanes, almost like a Texas Tech light defensively. And they just, they're going to make everybody's life hell in this league throughout the year, no matter where they finish. That's just the way they play. We saw little previews of that last year. Remember, Gonzaga had all sorts of fits with these guys. Now they're a year older and even better. The other team I'll bring up, and I know we have a lot to get to in this league, but Seattle U just with an outstanding 12-point road win. Cam Tyson, a local kid from Bothell, Washington, is leading the nation in scoring at 28.3 points a game. You know, everybody loves Portland out here, and they went to Portland and beat them by 12 on their home court. That makes a pretty loud statement, I think, here in the West. And keep in mind, next Monday, Washington and Seattle U have played every year since Seattle U moved back to D1. Washington's 14-0. if it's ever a year for CLU to get that win, I think this is the year.
Yeah, that's definitely one worth circling here. Griggs, I think there's a couple other teams we got to discuss. The Lopes picked up a decent win over Northern Iowa, say, in the third place game of their event.
Yeah, out in Kansas City.
After the loss to Wichita on Monday. And I do want to discuss a little bit about New Mexico State. I know we discussed last night in the Hoops HD report.
It's impossible to forecast what is happening. Well, I'll let you tell the story, Chad.
Well, I'm not. We talked about it the other night, but the long story short is their game with New Mexico got canceled due to a shooting event, which one of their star players ended up getting shot and returned fire and actually killed the guy that was shooting at him. I don't even want to go into any more.
You don't want to make light of this. Off the court issues could be a problem, and it's just hard to say where this program is right now. So moving on from that, and you know, obviously, we wish everybody the best in that, both at New Mexico State. It was a horrible, senseless tragedy, and I just wish it hadn't happened.
There is a quick update today that both the games between New Mexico and New Mexico State have been canceled and
I heard will that not be made happen.
Up. Yeah. Okay. I heard probably that a good happen. Idea.
Yeah. So they will not play until next year. Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't know, or do they, was this related to the game or not?
So I actually been reading up on it quite a bit. It stemmed from their football game actually, where apparently
there was a fight, maybe not hundreds, but lots and lots of people. And it was a really scary scene.
Right. Yeah. So I think this was like a retaliation of sorts. It's kind of the early reports. Obviously still a lot of details will come from this as we go.
Yeah. Hate to see that, but Southern Utah.
Southern Utah.
Yeah. Really, really, really impressive showing at Allen Fieldhouse.
And we haven't even talked about the hottest story, Sam Houston.
We haven't talked about them.
5-0 with wins over Utah and Oklahoma, just totally took Northern Illinois to the woodshed, beating them by 34. I think that game against South Dakota tomorrow will be a really high-level game for an under-the-radar game.
I think Sam Houston's going to roll that game. We're not going to be watching it very much. That's how good I think the Sam
Houston. Yeah, Sam Houston, really good. And where are the voters? Both the AP and the coaches, no one. They win at Utah and at Oklahoma, single vote.
And other than that game tomorrow, they'll be off until Monday night at Nevada. Again, another game that they can win, though. So there's a ton of interesting games here on the schedule.
I think the WAC's really deep. They're kind of like the anti CAA. They don't have they don't have the flashy Towson or Charleston yet. But
they might. Sam Houston
or Seattle could do it, but we don't know for sure. They just don't, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think all the way down to, you know, I thought Abilene Christian was good until this week. They haven't looked good the last 2 days. Yeah. But California Baptist beat UW. We didn't even talk about that yet. They took Minnesota to overtime last night. Tarleton is obviously a big threat. I just think the list goes on and on in this league. It's really league. Impressive.
You give a shout to UTRGV being 4-2 overall, and I thought they'd be dead last by a mile in this conference.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they just beat Northern Arizona by double digits, who beat Santa Barbara.
Real quick, we got two more teams we have discussed. Chicago State actually was in the game at Marshall for most of that game Monday night here. Our two independents. Hartford beat a couple of non-D1 teams, but
kind of a sad case. Chicago State winning, you know, beating Valpo and IUPUI earlier in the week and really was in there with Marshall, as you mentioned, Chad. Yeah.
The Valpo win was really impressive. They were huge in that game.
Yeah, they blew them out, really.
They will be at Cleveland State here coming up tomorrow, and then at Marquette on Saturday. You know, we'll get a win there.
No,
Hartford. Yeah. Hartford is in Philly for a round robin event where they're playing Penn, Delaware, and Colgate. Should go 0-3 of that.
Yeah, Hartford is.
I think Hartford's now done with their non-D1 games, and that's probably the last time you're going to see them win.
Yeah,
I think they've won more. They've only won three. I think they have one more coming up in this.
Did they get one? I don't see it on here, but
maybe not. We can go to the Hartford team sheet and find out.
Yeah.
We've got to pull up the Hartford team sheet at least once. There we go.
Yeah. Let me see.
I am not seeing anything.
Nothing showing up yet.
No, they got their.
They could always throw one in.
They got Chicago State twice, but now, you know, I don't know with which Chicago State playing that they could win that game. So,
yeah, maybe the Stonehill game, but I think Stonehill might run laps around them.
Yeah.
Okay, where are we up to? Let's go to the couple other conferences we've got checking on. The Front Range Conference, first of all.
No
conference games as of yet. Denver being the best team overall in the Front Range. This is one of our favorite mythical conferences here. Do we have any Front Range games coming up this week, Griggs?
Let me see. We've got it doesn't look like it. No conference games yet.
All right. Well, we'll hold off on the Front Range for a bit here. How about going to our newest conference,
Back Range? The Back Range. Here we go.
Unfortunately, we had the news about the New Mexico State, so it's gonna.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of really looking forward to that one.
ASU's on fire.
Arizona State after that up there in the first place, along with UTEP and the Lopes. Both undefeated. Let's see what we get in terms of upcoming games here. Do we have any games coming up on the schedule?
Let me see. Not seeing any.
No, we are not seeing any.
Yeah. So kind of a quiet. Oh, no. There it is. No, wait. That's Front Range, VBAC Range.
Front Range, VBAC Range. How about our other mythical conference, the winner of which gets the Old Ochre?
Oh, yeah. The Beehive.
The Beehive Conference.
Yeah, the Beehive.
Utah State off to a 1-0 win based on their win over Utah Valley already this year.
And as far as upcoming games, Utah not playing any Beehive teams after last year other than BYU, and I think that if they had their way, they'd get out of that one.
And a sad note on the Beehive, I don't think I've mentioned it on the first few shows this year, but Utah State and BYU deciding not to renew their 24-year rivalry.
A lot of
drama from the football side is my understanding. Carried over to hoops, sadly. So we will miss out on an epic Beehive matchup that we're used to seeing.
That one has been great. I knew that there was there's always complications with the contract because it isn't exactly one that you might know this better than I do, Rocco, but I'll use Xavier, Cincinnati, Louisville, Kentucky. Yeah. It's a 4-year deal that gets renewed every year for 1 year. So it's pretty seamless and pretty fixed. This one was not. I take it there was a problem.
There was definitely a problem. They were supposed to play, and one side wiggled out. I won't say which side, but nevertheless, there will not be a game this year between.
Well, I've got to say that you know, if these Beehive teams don't get things strained up here, we're gonna have to revoke this conference's license.
Yeah, I know.
We have to give the Old Ochre Cup to the Back Range Conference.
Yeah.
Let's go to our under the radar top 10. I almost forgot about it. We've got each of us voted. We have our top 10 teams. We also have a ton of honorable mentions, which we get a lot early this season because the vote's still being all over the place here. So let's start with the honorable mentions. First of all, we've got Seattle. We talked about Stetson, Charlotte, Yale, undefeated in the
honorable mentions,
Murray State, North Texas, Iona, and even a vote for Drexel in the under the radar top 10.
Wow.
For one and only one reason. Look at this score.
Wow, look at that.
Look at what Drexel did to Arlington.
Yeah.
Have you seen
that? Is just unbelievable. Down in the Gulf Coast Showcase.
399 points.
That's got to be a record. I don't know. But
that is just an offensive display. The efficiency ratings are just off the chart.
Breaking the systems.
Yeah.
But let's get seriously to our actual top 10 here. We got number 10. We got that Hofstra team that we discussed in the Colonial.
Yeah.
At number 9, Florida Atlantic
getting into the poll. Good.
Wow.
Kent State. Yeah.
Undefeated out of the MAC.
Yeah. Tie real good Kent State team.
Between UC Irvine and
the Midwest. That's low for the Eaters.
Ooh, man. The Eagles.
Yeah. And Southern Miss. Yeah. They should be in there. I actually had them a little higher.
Yeah.
At number 5, we got UAB out of Conference USA.
Despite the loss to Toledo, but a good night tonight. Yeah.
Number 4, we have Drake.
I'm glad to see them up in the poll. They should be higher than that, I admit. But I wouldn't have voted them that high, so maybe they wouldn't have been any lower or any higher.
Number 3, we have Sam Houston coming in there off of those big wins we just discussed and then the WAC.
Yeah, they do have Houston better wins than Drake, so I guess that's fair.
Number 2, College of Charleston.
Good. Yeah, I don't think they were in it last week.
And our number 1 team, drumroll. The Towson Tigers. Yeah.
And
top,
I was
top two teams are in the CAA.
Yeah.
Three CAA teams in our top 10. So,
yeah.
How about that for the CAA?
That's got to be a record in recent years.
I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, we'll go ahead and pull this down here and run for any other final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, I guess just a quick shout out. I missed this on the SoCon. Western Carolina went 3-0 in their MTE. So nice to see that. They're trying to rebuild their program. Haven't done much in several years and trying to build their team with some JUCO guys. I would also say, you know, I can't reiterate enough how deep the WAC is and how awesome that league could be. You can already see on the conference rankings right now. They're within about a point of the Missouri Valley in conference strength. I would not be shocked if by this time next month, the WAC passes the Missouri Valley. That's how deep and amazing they have potential to be.
Potential conference of the week next week. We'll see. Griggs.
It'll be a real quick final thought. I realize that we're pressed for time. These multi-team events, exempt events, whatever the hell we're calling them these days, they're hugely important to under-the-radar schools in some way. In some cases, that might be their best, if not only, chances to get the kinds of wins that jump out at the committee. Obviously, they have to hold serve after these events. But even though it's November, even though it's only Thanksgiving, a lot of what's happening, especially from the under the radar perspective, to where you don't have the opportunities at big level wins the way Power Fives do, is maybe one of the most crucial parts of the season, if not the most crucial part.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great point. And I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, on behalf of Rocco Miller, you can check him out as well, bracketeer.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with our normal Monday Hoops HD report, Wednesday Under the Radar. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a happy, safe holiday. We'll talk to you again real soon.